This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
And welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. Program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and it is brought to you by Better. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app, where you turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. Download Better at better.app now. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit necessary, and of course, getting your podcasts wherever the heck you do it, Apple, Spotify, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast, check out the show every single day. On a Tuesday, we pivot over to fantasy. Big day, trade deadline. We did just have a big move come down the line we will discuss, and we will also, of course, go around the league and talk about any other straggler news, notes, and nuggets. We'll recap Monday Night Football. There's two of them, Thursday and Monday. I've been getting them juxtaposed a lot lately. But the Monday Night Special hit. We'll recap it all. I believe it was the biggest hit in the history of Prop Points in terms of specials. And we've had some big ones, but plus 500. So thank you very much to Jacoby Brissett. We'll break it all down. We'll play a little buy low and sell high, as we always do. Not for nothing, but had some pretty good recos last week in the segment. And I actually have, you know, some pretty good names this week to deal with, because things change quickly. I only go back 5 weeks when I look at the points given up by every defense, applying it to the schedule going forward. So, you know, we could have done this. We did do this 2-3 weeks ago. We have a little bit of a different picture. Seasons within the season is very, very prevalent. We will talk with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, as well as we always do on a Tuesday. Very, very, very early look at the upcoming week. And then we'll take a look at my top 10 waiver wire recos and have some interesting names on that list as well. But real quick, yeah, last week we were like, trade for Marvin Harrison, went off last night. We were trade away Brian Thomas Jr., and the Jaguars have traded for Jacoby Myers. So some pretty good results. There's a couple of other good ones that I'm forgetting about now, but let's take a look at last night's action. We had another perfect night. So thank you, NFL gods. Thank you, fantasy gods. I did say, I have said a lot, I'm even Steven. We got hosed on two props on Sunday with injuries. We lost another one by a yard. We lost another one by five. So it was like really close to a massive week, but still a winning week, because we do go 4-for-4 on the propage. Georgie Pickens goes over 62.5. He cleared that relatively early. I was a little worried because they weren't going to him quite a bit. And, you know, if you don't throw George the ball, George will get a little lost in himself, basically. But got to give credit to George, though. He is a badass. I mean, I've been a fan from day one, but he got it done fairly easily, as did my other guy, Javonte Williams. A little worried about that, too. So, you know, it's a pretty good pick, I guess, if the team loses and the running back still gets the number. And he got off to a great start in the game. He had like 20 yards on his first two carries. I'm like, here we go. And then Marvin Harrison Jr., well, hey, we hit this puppy at halftime. It was over. 59.5. Thank you very much to the Dallas Cowboys defense for not being very good. And then also, it is November, and we're off to a good start. We're 4-0 and November. I don't want to keep mentioning the record, although I probably can't help myself if it's good, because the more I mention a good record, the worse it's going to get for me going forward. So I try not to bring it up, but we did hit that special of Jacoby Brissett at plus 500, and I actually did say, let's push it in there, and kind of that's what they did. So that's the beauty of this show, I think. I am a little volatile. You're not going to win every week, But when you do win, you can win big. And I had a guy tweet me this morning, and I love getting these tweets because this is what we're doing here. We're trying to help you out. He parlayed it all. And dude won $540 on a $10 bet. So I think we've built up a reservoir of goodwill with that person. And we love it. And we'll hopefully continue to get it done. I do need a really big Sunday, though. We haven't really, I think we've only had like one. I mean, I'm due for like an 8-1 Sunday. So hopefully that will be forthcoming. We're still well over 500 on the picks. The touchdown props, we're not really tracking it like we used to. Technically, I mean, you could argue that Jacoby Brissett tutty this past last night got us $500, but the specials are, we're back with the specials. 5-17 may not seem great, but think about the odds on these puppies. So some near misses as well. Also, in this first segment, every week, the week is over. Week 9's in the books. Last night, we couldn't do it on Monday because we're still playing out the week. We have the DNP list, and it's not did not practice. It's do not play ever. And we're talking about 2025, not in perpetuity, but these are guys like, just write them off. Don't even go there. We're talking props. You want to start them. If you need to start them, go right ahead in your fantasy, your season long. But here are 5 players off the grid for yours truly. And not that they've really been on the grid, but we'll start with Darnell Mooney because I am a Darnell Mooney apologist. And, you know, there have been many, many years where I'm pumping him up and people are like, you don't know what you're talking about. Then he does well. And I'm like, see, but this year, I don't know what to say. It's just a complete lost year for Darnell Mooney, who's just not doing anything, even though they need help. They don't have they have the thinnest receiving core in the league. So great news for Drake London. That was another guy we said to trade for last week, by the way. I saw a little trading opportunity. Next up, it's Tyrone Tracy. I did tell someone to start him last week. Felt bad about that, but he was kind of the one going into the game. Coming out, though, don't think so. I think it's Devin Singletary, a.k.a. the Fantasy Cockroach. We'll have some thoughts about Devin Singletary. You can't get rid of him. You think he's done. You think he's an afterthought. Oh, there he is. Nope, you cannot kill Devin Singletary. Jonnu Smith, I give up. Not that I was high on Jonnu. I did have a little bit of a vibe like the last couple of weeks of the preseason. They're using 3 tight ends, and their passing game is unreliable. So, therefore, Jonnu Smith, even with adjusted totals, I'm out. You just can't do it. And then Alvin Kamara, out. It's over for Al Kamara, I do believe. We'll see if anything happens with the trade deadline here. We've got 3 hours to go at 1:07 Eastern, but there's nothing going on, literally nothing going on with Alvin Kamara. Can't run the ball. They don't throw it to him. Bottom line, you know, the days of having Drew Brees are long gone, and their young quarterbacks don't check it down. Kellen Moore's offense usually gets the ball to the running backs in the passing game a little bit, gets them out in space. Not happening here, likely because of the quarterback. And then last but not least, Keon Coleman, not any good. Let's just say it like that. I wasn't that big of a Keon Coleman guy. You know, once in a while he flashes and all that, but doesn't get open against zone coverage against his own coverage. You can't kind of figure it out. Not that good of a player. So bye-bye. We'll try again with those guys next year, but they're off the grid. News and notes here as we try and cover a lot here in this first segment. The Jets have traded Sauce Gardner to the Colts 2 first-round picks. So that is a lot to give up for Sauce, who hasn't been as good this year. Now, maybe it's a function of the defense. He was balling early, but he has fallen off. They signed him to a 4-year, $120 million extension this offseason, and then he gets traded just a couple of months later to the 7-2 Colts. They're kind of all in on this year. I can understand it. They are one of the better teams, certainly in the league and in the AFC. That was probably their biggest issue in terms of deficiency. Corner, you know, the pass rush isn't great. They had Charvarius Ward on IR. So now you've got a lockdown corner in Sauce Gardner on one side. They play a lot of zone. I don't think he'll do much traveling, but he'll lock down one side of the field. The Raiders, have traded Jakobi Meyers to the Jaguars in exchange for fourth and sixth round picks. Certainly, I mean, it kind of throws, honestly, I've got Parker Washington on my list here, and it kind of ruins it, let's be honest here, because we'll get to it when we go through it all with the waiver wire. That's where I was going with that. Parker Washington was way up the list, but just coming down the line now that Jakobi Meyers now a Jaguar, that does not bode well for Parker Washington, though it could simply also be a function of Brian Thomas Jr. What a nightmare. What a disaster. I'm sorry for being high on Brian Thomas Jr., but I think everyone was high on Brian Thomas Jr. So I'm sorry that it happened. It's been a nightmare, and maybe this move is evidence that it's going to get worse for Brian Thomas Jr. before it gets better. And the Saints, we had this last week. I had Rashid Shaheed as a trade guy, thinking that they would trade him. They did. They traded him to the Seattle Seahawks. Not good news for Torrey Horton, but certainly good news for their offense. He is a very good deep threat, probably meshes pretty well with Jackson Smith and Jigba. So the Seahawks offense got a little bit better, and the Saint offense got a lot worse. They have an extremely thin receiving core. Chris Olave under contract for 2026, so that's probably why he wasn't moved. Chargers announced that tackle Joe Alt out for the season. Major, major buzzkill. And Amarian Hampton will not have his window to return opened after the Week 12 bye. Very, very poor sign. Matt Golden for the Packers is day to day. When we return, we'll do a little buy low, sell high, take a look at the players to trade and trade for. Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on Visa.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Think you know sports? Then it's time to start getting paid for. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge is turned into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up, no deposit required. And when you do deposit, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has year-round action on NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. So head on over to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to pop in the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com, NFL trade deadline. You know, I was thinking, oh, we should get our guy Adam Schefter to come on the show. But I'm like, nah, he's probably answering his seven phones right now. But shout out to our guy. Reporting, by the way, that the Seahawks giving up fourth and a fifth round pick, a fourth and a fifth for Rashid Shaheed, who is, again, in the final year of his rookie deal. That's why last week we were talking about, I'm like, yeah, he's going to get traded because they're dead in terms of NFL playoff hopes. The New Orleans Saints, why not trade him? Olave under contract in 2026. All right, well, this is a segment where we take a look and we do some business out there in the marketplace. Believe it or not, I got more options than last week. Yeah, very ever-changing landscape, very fluid. We're looking. Things change very quickly. There's seasons within the season. All right, enough prelude. Let's go to Jared Goff. Believe it or not a must-have. Nobody's waking up this morning like, oh, I got to get Jared Goff. But I do think he could go on a little bit of a heater based on some tasty matchups forthcoming. He's got his full complement of weapons in the passing game. I know they did suffer some injuries on the O-line, which, by the way, really hurt our David Montgomery prop, by the way. Not for nothing, but we lost that by 8 yards. They had three O-line injuries that really hurt their curtailed their ability to run the rock. I'll get over that loss in maybe 3-4 days. But he does have, does Goff, a number of choice matchups starting this week against D.C. They're done. So start guys against D.C. They just put Lattimore on IR. Unbelievable. Then you got Philadelphia. That could be high scoring at least. The Giants, good schematic matchup. They play a lot of man. Green Bay could be high scoring. Dallas at home. Come on. I mean, Goff's thrown for 400 in that game if Dak and the Cowboys put up a fight. At the Rams, it may not be great, but it's a revenge game. Then we're at Pittsburgh. Hello, Pittsburgh stinks. I know they were good last week. By the way, guys, great job last week. Why don't you do that every week, guys? Hello? Anyway, yeah, they were all pissed off, and they showed up and played like 150% better. Again, which begs the question, why weren't you doing that every week? But that's neither here nor there. Then you got Minnesota. So I think Goff could actually go on a little bit of a heater. Next up, it's Jordan Love. I've been a Love person. I'll admit it. He's annoying, but he is still talented. They're not running the ball like they have been. I know they lost Tucker Kraft, but that also probably, you know, brings down the asking price for Jordan Love. I really think that Christian Watson may be coming around here. The hands are much improved from what I've seen. I haven't seen every single target, but I've seen about 80% of them, and it does look like his hands are improved. Pretty good schedule here with good matchups and or higher scoring affairs. Philly, Giants, Vikings, Lions, Bears, Broncos, that's tough, but guess what? They play man coverage at the highest rate in the league, and Love crushes man. Chicago and Baltimore, it's pretty good. Saquon Barkley, we'll see where he is health-wise, but I'm guessing that he's okay to play based on what they said about the injury 2 weeks ago. He does have a couple of tougher matchups like Green Bay this week and then Detroit, but things get pretty soft after that. At Dallas, Chicago, L.A. Chargers, Raiders, D.C., Buffalo, pretty good. Ramondre, again, don't know about injuries, so you're taking on some risk here. But, you know, I looked into what Vrabel said about it. He said, quote, "I'm not into predictions," unquote. Thanks, Mike. But, you know, he also said he doesn't really do time frames. Thanks again. But, you know, based on, you know, reading the tea leaves here, it doesn't seem like it's that serious. Could have a setback, but very good schedule for Ramondre, who is, let's be honest, their number one back. When he's back, he's going to be the number one back. At Tampa, Jets, Cincinnati, hello. Giants, fantastic. Bye week, Buffalo, great matchup. Baltimore, great matchup. Jets, great matchup. A lot of great matchups here. Trey Benson, also an injury risk, but I kind of like the schedule here. At Seattle and San Fran. Seattle's going to be tough, but San Fran, Jacksonville, at Tampa, LA Rams, Houston, Atlanta, Cincinnati. We're more about those last two games for Trey Benson. I would want him for the ship against Cincinnati. I mean, a dude, if he's healthy, he can get 25 points. How about Quinshon Judkins? Once again, taking on a little bit of risk with these injured guys, but man, he's got some really good matchups forthcoming. Raiders this week, San Fran, Tennessee, Chicago, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, fantastic. Justin Jefferson, I like him with JJ. He's going to be up against a lot of defenses that play a lot of man, and Jefferson is great against man, as is McCarthy. He's very good against man. This is why last week on the VSiN tailgate show on Sunday morning, I popped out the JJ over 5.5 receptions prop because I was confident that McCarthy could get him the ball, which he did. Only got it by one catch, but a win is a win. And we actually took Roma Dunze's under for Novunder. Dude goose egged us, but I do think if you need immediate help, the value took a massive hit last week, but he's got three tasty matchups in a row here. Giants, Vikings, Steelers. That alone makes Roma Dunze worth trading for. I would also take a look at David Montgomery. He didn't do it this past week, but not too shabby. Here are some players, quickly, that I would be willing to part ways with. And again, not saying sell at all costs, but Josh Allen, it's a big name, I know, so hang on to him if he's your best option. I am not liking the schedule. Miami, they're only giving up 14 points a game to quarterbacks in the last five. Tampa, they're only giving up 16. Houston, they're only giving up 13. Pittsburgh's good. Cincinnati's good. New England's only given up 16. Cleveland's only given up 15. And then Philly is not great. Not great at all. Dak Prescott, you do have a bye this week. Then I'm not seeing a lot of production here over the next month at the Raiders, Eagles, and then KC. Bo Nix, don't like the schedule. He's not great against zone. Raiders, Chiefs, bye week. DC is good. Raiders again, and Green Bay. He might be fine, but I don't love it. Trevor Lawrence, this is on the low end. They did just trade for Jacoby Myers, but he's had four solid games in a row. He's basically like a QB12 over the last month. That's not too shabby. Don't like these next three matchups, though. At Houston, they only give up 13 points a game. At the Chargers, they give up 13 points a game. And then at Arizona, they did a pretty good job against Dak last night. Chase Brown, I know he's been kind of back, but Samaje Perine got hurt. I'd get out there and sell and flip them, basically, if I could. At Pittsburgh, then New England, then Baltimore, not the greatest slate of games. Josh Jacobs, don't like the upcoming slate of games for him either. Minnesota all of a sudden stopping the run better. Detroit's really good. Chicago's stopping the run well lately. Denver, Chicago again, and Baltimore. Not great. Next up, Devin Singletary. Now, spoiler alert, we're going to have him on the waiver wire. So the advice is pick him up and then flip him because I don't love the matchups for the fantasy cockroach. Devin Singletary at Chicago, Green Bay, Detroit, New England, bye week. Debo Samuel, it's over. Not looking great with Mariota. Not looking great with a lot of man-heavy defenses on the schedule. That's not what you want with Debo. You don't want single high. You don't want man. You want too high, and you want zone. Jake Ferguson, not great. All of a sudden, might get pinched just a little bit with George and CD. Got a bye week this week, and the matchups aren't wonderful. Vegas, Philly, KC, Detroit, Minnesota, Chargers, DC. Most of those teams are pretty stingy against tight ends. And then last but not least, look, if you need them, roll with them. But let's be honest, you didn't draft Aronde Gadsden. So if I had him, I might sell high here after four straight good games. Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, bye week, Vegas, Eagles, KC, Dallas, Houston, not the greatest schedule there. When we return, we'll talk week 10 data points with our guy Stephen O'Rourke. But first, VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the trusted data source behind elite soccer analytics in the UK. You'll get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, plus exclusive NBA player prop projections, all compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. Access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's never too early to look ahead to the upcoming week. We'll do just that with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data right here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and without any further ado, from the aforementioned website, on the Progressive guest line, our guy, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst over at Fantasy Points, Fantasy Points Data. He's in the data mining room right now, and he's on the X machine at Call Me Steve-O, just crushing it with the recos early in the week, pretty much every week. Last week, DeAndre Swift, of course, we didn't know he'd be out, but Kyle Manungai went off. Sammy Laporta, a little Alec Pierce, a little Mark Andrews. Steve, what is up? Congratulations for kicking ass on the recommendations. How you doing?
Doing well. It was a good week. It was especially nice that like Alec Pierce and Sam Laporta hit by, I think, the end of the first quarter for both. So it was nice it's always nice to get those props that get out of the way by the first or second drive, and then you can just kind of sit back and breathe easy a bit.
Oh, it's the best. No, I tweeted the check mark on the Pierce prop at 120. Puppy was at 120. So that's what we're looking for, basically. Well, let's get into it because you've got Quinshon Judkins first up on your list. And I understand Stefanski has kind of addressed it. We're looking pretty good here coming out of the bye up against the Jets, who just traded Sauce Gardner. So volume, quite voluminous here this week. He should be able to get as many carries as he can handle, I would think.
Yeah, and the Jets really struggle with runs up the middle, and that's where they, the Browns send Judkins a lot. 61.9% of Judkins rushes go to the A or B gap, and the Jets are allowing 5.7 yards per carry on runs to the A-B gap, which is 31st in the NFL in the last four games. And even worse, like, what's really bad about the run game is they give up 3.51 yards after contact per attempt on interior runs the last 4 weeks, which is 32nd. So Judkins is a bowling ball. He only averages 3.95 yards per carry on interior runs. But like I said, he's a bowling ball. The Jets have struggled to wrap up and get guys down on the ground. That kind of plays into what Judkins does and who he is. So I think that Judkins gets fed the ball a lot. I think he drives that Browns offense, and I think this is a knockout, drag it out game where both defenses kind of excel against the other team's pass game. So I think the run game is where the Browns are able to kind of gain an advantage, if anything.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, we'll see about Garrett Wilson, by the way, in that game. Like, he does pretty well against man coverage, but if he's out again and no Mason Taylor can't do it, I don't think, against a man heavy team. Next up, a player that we were in on his under last week, and my man Goose Egg, people, it was the fall of the Rome Empire last week, but I actually think with that game in the books, not a bad idea to go out and trade for Rome Odunze, who is good, but he can only be as good as Caleb Williams, who isn't great. But this week up against the Giants, this is what we're looking for, right? Man-heavy defenses for Caleb and for Rome.
Yeah, exactly. And the Giants, when lining up in man or single high, they're allowing 8.66 yards per attempt in single high coverage, which is seventh highest in the NFL in the last 4 weeks. And they're giving up 7.85 yards per attempt when lined up in man coverage, which is 10th highest allowed in the last 4 weeks. Rome Odunze leads the team in target share against man coverage, and he leads the team in target share against single high coverage. He averages over 2 yards per route run against both single high and man coverage. He also does really well when Caleb is not under pressure. Caleb sends the ball his way the most. Again, leads the team in target share when Caleb isn't under pressure, and he averages 2.89 yards per route run when Caleb doesn't see pressure. So the Giants have generated pressure on about 35.4% of dropbacks the last 4 weeks, which is 18th in the NFL. So like you said, I think that Goose Egg kind of set alarms. Even I think his dad put something out about him not getting targets. So I kind of expect that to go back his way, him getting a lot of one-on-one matchups, especially against a guy like Deontay Banks. I think he can have a good week this week.
No, totally. I would love to pivot right on over to the over this week. We'll see. Because 2 weeks ago, up against, what was that, the Steelers, I really wanted to play the over on Rome, and I was like, and I wish I did, but you know what they say, when starting Rome, make sure it's a man-heavy defense. Chopping it up here with our guy, Steven O'Rourke of Fantasy Points on the X Machine at CallMeSteve07. Well, next up, another great one here. Well, I actually like the one after this one, but you also have Nico Collins on here up against the Jags. What do you see there with Nico?
Yeah, the Jags have kind of struggled to generate pressure the last couple of weeks. They're getting pressure on just 29.6% of dropbacks the last four games, which is 28th in the NFL. And we've seen that the difference between this Houston offense is when C.J. Stroud gets pressured or when he doesn't. If he faces a ton of pressure, he's off the entire game. If he stays out of pressure, he ends up having a pretty decent day, and he's able to pick apart defenses. With the Jaguars not generating a ton of pressure, they also allow a lot of yards on play-action passes. They're giving up 11.4 yards per attempt on play-action passes, which is 31st in the NFL the last 4 weeks. And they run the ninth highest single high rate in the NFL, 55.9%. All of this to say, Nico Collins average against single high coverage averages 2.35 yards per route run and a 24.2% target share. And he also has a 30% target share on play action passes. Nico and CJ Stroud have not been able to connect a bunch. I think they've only completed 50% of their 50% of the passes on play action to Nico Collins, but Jacksonville's allowing 83% completion percentage on play action passes. So I kind of expect this week for that connection to ramp up a bit, them to work Nico over the middle a lot on play action. So I think he could have a big week this week.
Of course, he is in the protocol and all that. You know, we'll see if he can get out of it in time and all that. But yeah. Davis Mills wasn't that bad. I mean, he kind of held down the fort pretty well. Before I get to the last guy, let me, not to throw you off course, get your thoughts on, because you are Michigan-based, you're Mr. Detroit Lions. I actually just mentioned Jared Goff being, believe it or not, maybe a good guy to trade for. I feel like he might go on a heater here at Washington. Philadelphia might not be great, but the Giants, Packers, Cowboys, Rams might not be great, but Steelers, Vikings again. Any thoughts there on Jared Goff and the passing attack? They've got their full complement of weapons. I don't know about the O-line injuries with Sewell and Decker and all that, but any thoughts on Goff maybe as a buy low or J-Mo, which I've mentioned a couple of weeks in a row here as a buy low, or Amon-Ra or Laporta?
Yeah, J-Mo is one that I'll just never give up on, because it feels like every week is potential, just with all it takes is a defense forgetting about him. But I kind of agree with Jared Goff, especially this week. But going forward, like you said, Cowboys, Giants are both games he can have big days against. Steelers going single high, he crushes single high. I think it's a good play. I think he, like, the Lions run game has not looked as good. I wonder if that pushes them to go more play action. Like you said, I think Penne is going to be okay. Decker is a little bit concerning just with the injuries piling up, but the biggest key for them is going to be able to fix that interior offensive line and being able to deal with stunts and like pressures up the middle that like the Vikings really showed a big weakness that they have. And I wonder if how teams will attack that. But if they can get that figured out, I mean, Jared Goff has been as efficient as any quarterback this season. And I think he can have a good week. And really, like, we'll see it this week. The Lions bounce back after a loss really well.
And by the way, not surprising that on the other side, J.J. McCarthy, you know, had a successful showing with those stud bookend tackles finally on the field. Oh, my God, it made such a difference. But your final one, speaking of the Vikings, I think this thing is going to be a fantasy football bonanza in Minnesota against the Ravens. And I absolutely love Zay Flowers in the matchup. Talk about Zay. What do you see here against the Vikings?
Yeah, everything really does kind of point to Zay this week. Minnesota allows 9.7 yards per attempt on play action passes the last four games, which is eighth highest in the NFL. Zay Flowers has a 34% target share and averages 5.6 yards per route run on play action passes, which are both top five in the NFL. Minnesota blitzes on 42% of their defensive dropbacks, and they allow 9.92 yards per attempt when blitzing. Zay Flowers averages 3.29 yards per route run against the blitz and has a 31.3% target share. Everything points to Lamar pushing the ball to Zay this week. I think he drives that offense. Minnesota's rush defense has looked a little bit better. And I agree. I think this is going to be a shootout.
Yeah. You know, sometimes getting the picks in early, less time to suffer paralysis by overanalysis. So sometimes, you know, like early week look is really good. And that's kind of been the story of your spot here, Steven. So thanks again. And follow Steven on the X Machine at CallMeSteve07. And when we return, the final segment, we'll pop out my list of waiver wire pickups, a couple of quarterbacks, bunch of tight ends, and some select wideouts as well, with I believe one running back. We'll hashtag talk about it in the final segment here of a Tuesday edition of Prop Points on Visa.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Think you know sports? Start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into cash. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed. When you do deposit, you get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Head to better.app and use the promo code VSiN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and well, it's time to talk waiver wire. Don't be a lazy lima bean. Go out there and work the waiver wire, because I'm lazy. I oftentimes will forego working the waiver wire in lieu of a nap, basically, but that's me. But I'm terrible at working the waiver wire, but you gotta put in the work if you really truly want to win. All right, I actually just, there it is. I threw this on the floor when it was supposed to be this. Anyway, we're good. Number one is Devin Singletary. The hot hand approach officially in effect for sure, but I think at this point it's pretty clear that Tyrone Tracy is not consistent enough to consistently be that hot hand, quite frankly. And if you watched the Giants last week, Devin Singletary, a.k.a. the fantasy cockroach, you can't get rid of him, he looked like the primary back. He looked like the RB1. He looked like the better player. He's never been a burner by any stretch. Boring. I interviewed him way back. Boring interview. But you know what? He's available. You can't get rid of this guy. He's going to get 100 plus carries for like the eighth straight year when everyone thought his career was not doing well. But Tracy, I'm not saying I'm not saying cut him. And it is fluid. I mean, Tracy could get the upper hand this week. But over the long haul, I think you're looking at Devin Singletary as the new, let's call it a primary back. Like, they're going to work in another guy. He's not a foundational back, but he is their number one back, which we'd kind of define that as being their primary back. Next up, and I have him pretty high up on the list here, but I've been a fan from day one. Another player that I was able to interact with in Indy at his combine, good kid. Great player, great talent, hasn't gone swimmingly for Christian Watson. Hands have been suspect, but they look improved to me. Durability, thy name has not been Christian Watson, but Tucker Kraft is done. Obviously, Wicks has been a catastrophe. Golden has not done much. Jaden Reed is still out. They're needing to make some plays in the passing attack because the running game is not that effective this year. So I do think Watson got some upside here. Number one, he's a great downfield threat. But number two, don't forget, this guy's red zone money. Like, when they're throwing the ball in the red zone, they're going to be looking for Christian Watson. Next up, a couple of quarterbacks. And I have had Sam Darnold on this list a few times. He's got two touchdowns or more in six of his last seven. They just traded for Rashid Shaheed. That's a pretty nice little addition. Great deep threat, really good player. Jackson Smith and Jigba literally is unstoppable. And they've got an interesting tight end tandem, quite frankly, with Elijah Arroyo, the rookie out of Miami. I watched him at the Senior Bowl. He was awesome. I was like, this guy's good. He looks like a wide receiver out there. And that's kind of, they're using him that way as a big slot. So all of a sudden, they kind of, I don't want to say they have an embarrassment of riches at receiver, but it's pretty good, and Sam Darnold's pretty good. Still no regrets as a lifelong Vikings fan, by the way. Good luck, Sam. Wish you the best of luck in Seattle. I know deep down we were not, we being the Vikings, winning a championship with Sam Darnold. We just weren't. But we might with J.J. McCarthy. I don't know about this year, but there he is. He's on the list. It was an uneven showing, certainly in week 10, but he's got to protect the ball better. But look, I mean, the guy's made three starts. And by the way, he's gone over 20 fantasy points in two of the three, despite turning the ball over. So that's not bad. That is an indication of what we're dealing with upside-wise with J.J. McCarthy. I think the O-line could be at full strength in 2 weeks, get Ryan Kelly back. And if they can enjoy good health with all five starters, And man, it'd be nice to have Aaron Jones healthy there too. Like we're cooking with gas here. Like it's not a coincidence that McCarthy surprised a lot of people when they had their protection back. The protection was a lot better. There's still room for improvement. There's still plenty of room for JJ McCarthy to improve as he learns on the job. I don't think it'll be that hard for him to average 19, 20 fantasy points per game. Next up, Parker Washington. Obviously, we didn't know that they would trade for Jacoby Myers. They are a little redundant in terms of being mostly inside guys. But here's the thing. Jacoby Myers, number one, may have been signed because they have concerns about Brian Thomas. And number two, while he's certainly ideally in the slot, the data over his career has always been good in terms of outside. I remember when he left New England, that was the first year we launched Fantasy Points data. So it was like in free agency. So I'm like, oh, wow, I think they traded – he goes to the Raiders. They already had Hunter Renfro. I'm like, well, they're going to need him to line up outside. I'm like, let me take a look at the data. The data revealed that Jacoby Myers was good on the outside. So, you know, this might be okay for Parker Washington, who, by the way, has been absolute money all year. I mean, I'm talking preseason. The former Nittany Lion is, I think he's the only receiver brave enough to go over the middle and catch hospital balls from Trevor Lawrence, quite frankly. And because Brian Thomas doesn't like doing that, but Parker Washington has been good. Until they get Brenton Strange back, which there's no pending return, he's going to get targets, period. And again, you're throwing it between the hashes is Trevor Lawrence. That's all he does. And that's kind of where Parker Washington lives. Next up, our guy, Alec Pierce, big fan of him. Again, might be a little bit of a one-trick pony, but it's a pretty good trick in terms of making downfield plays. He is playing over Josh Downs and two wide receiver sets. So he's on the field a lot, and he basically makes a big play every single week. By the way, my man's due for touchdown regression, like real soon. Last year, he caught a touchdown 10% of the time. You throw him a ball, 10% of the time he scores a touchdown last year. This year, zero. So we're going to get some regression there. Love Luke Musgrave. I loved him as a prospect. I liked him more than Tucker Kraft. He's an athletic freak. He's not going to be as consistent as Kraft, but he probably has more upside potential to make a big play every single week. We loved Colston Loveland last week. I should have played the prop, but Cole Kmet returned. By the way, it's weird. Two tight ends named Cole, but that's neither here nor there. Colston Loveland, Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet, the concussion, could keep him out again. So, I mean, real good talent in Colston Loveland. Troy Franklin, our old nemesis, he did lose us a prop a couple of weeks ago. I'm more mad about that than the fact that I probably got COVID from him at the combine a couple of years ago. Not blaming him. It happens. But I just love that story. But he is, at the end of the day, he's the second option in the passing game. Not every week, but at the end of the day, that's where we're at. I know they got Pat Bryant, but Marvin Mims, kind of a rotational guy. You can't really count on him. I'm going to roll through this quickly. The next few guys here. Darius Slayton is slow going, but I've been pumping him up here for a couple of weeks. Solid 5 for 62 on 7 targets, 90% route share. Proven outside receivers with big play potential and decent offenses don't grow on trees. Dalton Schultz, I mean, the dude's now 8th in targets for tight end and catches. He may never score another touchdown in his life, but he's on a track to catch 90 balls. Tez Johnson, I still like Tez. Until proven otherwise, until we see Chris Godwin doing anything, I'm still into Tez. Love Noah Fant, a.k.a. Fanta Claus. Holidays are around, coming upon us. All he's done is catch 25 of 28 targets this year. Doesn't get a lot of targets, but he does score. Also Mason Taylor, don't love him every week, but there are some choice matchups on the docket for him. You want him up against zone-heavy teams. And I'll give another shout-out. Greg Dulcich, super athletic. He looks like he found a home in Miami. I'm a big fan of Greg Dulcich, number one, because when I interviewed him at the combine, my first comment was, you look like Jesus And he laughed his ass off. So good dude. So I will endorse him because Tua likes throwing to these big body receivers. Look at Darren Waller. So maybe Greg Dulcich. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off here. It's Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at the top of the hour. On today's show, Adam Burke shares his market insights, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 o'clock. And then VSiN Primetime, Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns at 7 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. As per usual, thanks to our guy Michael Cohen. Tomorrow's show, wide receiver corner matchups, Brett Whitefield, and an exploration of the totals for week number 10. Until then, I'm John Hansen. Have a good day. We'll catch you manana.